Pocket Party.
If you like the show and you want to show your support, every little bit helps. Go to DarrenCarter.com. I'm on PayPal or Venmo at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also, I'm available on Cameo. Also, Jemmy. All right, let's get back into the show. Oh, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
All right, we are about to call Mike Black on the Pocket Party Podcast. By the way, guys, if you get a chance, leave a review on iTunes. Also, if you're not on YouTube, go to YouTube right now. Go to Darren Carter. Subscribe to the channel. Give it a big thumbs up and comment.
Hello.
Hello. Is this the one and only Mike Black?
Sure.
I was given this secret number and they said Mike Black will answer.
Yeah. I got your text that you were going to call and I still had like 5 Ritz crackers left. And so I kind of did the 5 cracker challenge on accident, you know, where you eat like, do you know this challenge? Are you familiar with it?
Yeah. What is it where you let you eat a you eat Ritz crackers with no water and you try to see how many you can.
Well, I think it's supposed to be regular crackers. So I might've cheated, but, oh, wow. Cause Ritz are round. They're not, there's literally less of them. But you're not supposed to be able to swallow 5 crackers in a minute without water, but I did.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, don't do that. That's dangerous. Are you by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You live on the edge. See, like, I would be like, well, what if something happens? There's no one around to, like, you know.
The landlord will find my body.
And they'll be like, how'd he go out? By a Ritz cracker challenge right before a podcast.
Died. He died doing what he loved. Eating Ritz crackers alone.
Yeah. You know, in my mind, maybe because it has like putting on the Ritz, I always think Ritz crackers are kind of like for like special occasions or rich people. You know what I mean? Like I know they're not. Like, I know anybody can just walk down to Vons or Ralph's or your local grocer, even probably the 99 cent store.
Well, Darren, I'm a very decadent man.
Do you eat Thanksgiving dinners even when it's not like the third Thursday in November?
I lavish myself with only the finest foods and finest drinks. I wear the most expensive clothes.
Every day is Christmas in my household.
It really is.
You know, there is something to that. Like, on your birthday, I don't know how you are, but, like, I actually am a little bit, like, happier that day. It's like maybe because I'm like, okay, it's my birthday, and you're like, we're going to go bowling, and then we're going to go, I'm going to swim, or whatever those, I make it a... Imagine if, like, I mean, I think it would be kind of hard to live every day like it's your birthday, but
yeah,
there is something special.
Depending on who you are, it would be difficult, you know. Yeah, Bill Gates is living every day like it's his birthday.
Yeah, that's true.
For me, it's a lot more difficult.
Thank you for watching. Now, please subscribe and ring that notification bell.
Because really, I think all people want for their birthday is to just do the things they like to do, and everyone else kind of has to tolerate.
Yeah.
You know, like, for me, I remember once in high school, God, this is terrible. God bless my friends that I had in high school, because they were like, what do you want to do on your birthday? It's Aurora, Colorado. There wasn't a great nightlife anyway.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was thinking of having a Highlander party, and they're like, what? And I was like, you know, watch Highlander and then the TV show Highlander, have some snacks and stuff. And they literally endured like 2 episodes of the TV show. And then they're like, why don't we just skip to the movie? And I was like, if you guys want. And they stayed for like 4 hours and just watched Highlander with me. And, you know, I think they liked the movie, but the TV series was like a USA network series. Yeah. It was not great. Yeah. It was not the best representation of Highlander.
But it was, I'm sure it was, for you, it was great. Like, if you're already into the movie and then you're watching this series, you're like, yeah, this is more and more Highlander. Yeah, like,
this is really cool. But it's like, it's a show where, like, the real fun of Highlander in the movies was that he, you know, he'd chop another dude's head off, and then he would get all of their power. There'd be a big, cool sword fight. Well, USA can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, primetime yeah. family. You know, so they'd show him like make a cut, and then it would go to black, and then like there'd be like some special effects lighting would happen, and that was it. You know, but I was like, yeah, this show is great, and it wasn't great. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But because it was my birthday, friends would endure it, you know.
They isn't there like a famous line from Highlander, like there can only be one Highlander or something?
There can
like that.
Be only one.
See, I love the line. See, I know the line, and I've never seen one episode or seen the movie.
You've never seen the movie Highlander? Come on.
When's your birthday?
It's October 1st, so get ready.
Get ready, mother effer. We're going to be like sitting there for an 8-hour marathon of Highlander.
See how I even did the USA Network edit of my cousin.
Exactly.
For that.
I would, you know what? I would love to get into the habit of doing USA cuts on all my cursing, because I tell myself I'm not going to do it. Because I've been filming myself doing stand-up lately, and my default, you know, when something naturally, like the other day I was doing this Bullwinkle impression. I was telling the audience how in 1990, or maybe it was 89, I got to open for the New Kids on the Block in Fresno. They had this audition.
Wow.
And, you know, and I think looking back, I probably got it because they thought, oh, it's a youthful act, and then the audience is going to be youthful, and really it's basically the bottom line, it was free. Like they weren't going to pay me, and there was no, it wasn't like they had a setup and tear down of a band. It was like me going out for 5 minutes doing comedy,
yeah.
And that was it. And so the thing that I would do is in the bit that got me the gig was I would do I would do some rapping as I'd be like, Kermit the Frog, get him covered in green. Miss Piggy is fat. That's F-A-T, but it's my prerogative. Because Bobby Brown had a song called My Prerogative.
Yes, and I'm aware of hip hop.
And then I would do Popeye. I'd be like, well, it blows me down. I couldn't be hipper. Shiver me timbers. I'm a Chippendale stripper. And I would like, you know, move my hips around and stuff. And I'm a stripper, you know. And then I would do Bullwinkle. And as I'm telling the story, you know, 30 years later in Temecula a couple of weeks ago, I was on stage and I'm like, and I put my hands up by my head like antlers, and I'm like, well, my name is Bullwinkle, I am a moose, give me the mic and they'll cut loose. And then the big punchline was me so horny. And right when I said me so horny, a waiter walked right in front of the stage and accidentally, just by happenstance, he wasn't even paying attention, a credit card dropped off his tray. And he bent over right in front of everybody just to pick it up and put it back on. But he goes, me. I'm like, me so horny. And right when he bent over right in front of everyone. And I just stopped. I went, what the? And I actually said the actual F word. I go, what the? You know, and everyone laughs. It's killing. And then I made fun of that fact. I go, great timing on that guy's part. He's like, did someone say horny? And then, hey, ladies. And I bent over and it was hilarious and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking at the footage and I'm like, oh man, see, I actually said what the, you know, I didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't edit myself at all.
Yeah, now when I upload it online, I'm going to cut it right there where it's going to go, what the f-ing? And you could tell what I said, but I didn't.
What is, have you ever, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever, this happens to me every now and again, especially when I do something filthy. Have you ever locked eyes with an audience member and realized that if you were just in a one-on-one conversation yeah. with this person, you would never say what you're saying?
Totally. That's why I try not to do that. I try not to do that because that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and it wasn't even that filthy. I was just, once again, I was filming, so I was trying to get like some footage for the YouTube channel, and I was doing the, I like my women like I like mine, which I kind of stopped doing for a while, but I'm like, whatever, it's funny, people laugh, it's good, it keeps me, you know, on my toes, and it's kind of fun, and whatever, so I'm like,
sure.
Yeah, I'm like, I like my women like I like mine, and then they yelled out, beef jerky, and I was, and then the first thing I said was, I didn't even know what to say. I was like, available at 7-Eleven and a little salty or whatever I said, you know. And I go, and then I just was real. And I go, to be honest with you guys, I don't really like beef jerky. Like I go, that was more of something I had when I was younger. I go, now I prefer, And then I locked eyes with some lady just by random. I go, I prefer a full meal. You know?
Was she overweight?
No, but it just looked, and then I just,
that would have been hilarious.
I know.
That's horrible.
Exactly. And then I just called the moment. I'm like, oh, that felt creepy. I'm looking her right in the eye. I prefer a full meal or a real meal, or I said something like that. Yeah. That was like, I was like, a real meal, not just some snack. You know, leave that for the youngsters. Yeah.
Well, I won't tell you the joke, but I told a joke once.
Do the USA Network version of it.
I don't think there is a USA Network version of it.
Is there even a USA Network anymore?
I don't know. And they're actually not like this clean, squeaky clean network or anything.
Yeah,
they would show like USA Up All Night, like booby.
Oh, yeah, movies. With Rhonda Shearer. Remember that, Rhonda Shearer. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so I told a joke during that period where you're just writing anything to be shocking and to be, you know, just kind of testing your edges and stuff like that, you know. And I'm telling this joke and it has a punchline and then a much darker, funnier, horrible punchline. So I tell the first punchline and I lock eyes with the front row. And now I'm already beginning the sentence of the next punchline. And I see that I've locked eyes with the oldest man in the world. He's got to be like 98 or something like that. And he's holding hands with his old wife, who's like 97 maybe. And I realize their whole family brought them out to see a comedy show. And now I have to finish the sentence because I've already started it. I'll look like an idiot if I don't finish. So I finish the joke. He swats the air in front of him like he's trying to knock the joke away from him. And he goes, no. And then he folded his arms and turned away from me like he didn't want to look at me anymore. And I was like, I just kind of kept doing my show, but in my head I'm thinking, oh no, he's like, I fought the battle of the bulge.
Yeah.
So for freedom of speech, and that's what this kid's doing. He's crapping all over the Constitution. And my wife and my beautiful family are here to celebrate my last birthday. And this is happening. It was the worst. The worst.
It's funny that yeah, well, that's, you know, going back to that. Let's go back to the F word. I'll just say it, you know, for this conversation. Who gives a damn? But yeah, I remember my grandpa came to see me at my home, you know, hometown comedy club, and I remember the owner was also the MC. He was like a local like talk show host, you know, Ray Appleton. For those of you in the Fresno area, so Ray Appleton was up there, and he's like. My grandpa was out in the audience and, you know, his nickname was Red. And he goes, Red, have you ever heard your grandson say the F word? And my grandpa was like, no. He's like, well, you're about to. Please welcome. I was like, whoa, you know. And it's so funny, man, like, because I'm trying to, you know, with the YouTube channel, I'm putting on podcasts on you guys, if you're listening, go to YouTube. If you're already on there, thank you. YouTube.com/Darren Carter. So I put up the vlogs, the stand up, the podcasts. And I was filming a comic and I thought, oh, I'll do an interview with them outside the comedy club. And it's funny because the podcast is called Pocket Party. So I've called that segment Surprise Parties. Because it's like,
right.
I'm literally like, hey, you want to go outside and talk? And I'm like, sure. And it's pretty cool. It's like spontaneous. I have a list of questions. Sometimes I'll, you know, however we'll go into it. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll add something where, you know, if the comic is cool with it, I'll show like a minute of their comedy or something. And then we'll do the interview. And they're, you know, it was my first time thinking of that. And this guy was like, yeah, go for it. And I'm filming him. You know, I was like, let me just get like, you know, I'll film like 4 minutes and then I'll just take like the best 30 seconds or whatever. And I couldn't believe, because now I'm thinking of it, you know, for my channel and how I want ads to run on it. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to show too much. Dude, everything he said was like, so I just fucking went to the mall. And I went to a fucking store and this fucking guy, have you seen the fucking price? I was like, oh my gosh. It was just like F talk. It was like, he's talking and I'm like, it's not like it was just at the punchline. I'm like, wow, this guy doesn't. And he's a good.
I find myself doing that on shows where I know it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Like I'll throw in F bombs that I don't need to throw in. And I'd like to just break the habit of doing that, but it's difficult to do.
I think it is different. And it's not even something people are aware of. And there's probably, and most of the time there's not even a reason to break the habit, but because I have this specific thing where I'm like, oh, let me put this on the YouTube channel without any cursing, or I couldn't, you know, I don't mind if there's cursing. I just don't want it to be in the first like 2 minutes, because I think that's where the algorithm like can sense it or something.
Well, I wish I'd listened to him a long time ago, but the head of a management company who I won't name, but they are very successful. I rode up the elevator with the president of the company, and he said, you're a really great joke writer, you know. And I was like, oh, thanks. And he goes, but I'll give you a piece of advice, take it or leave it. Just so you know, there is a lot more money in clean comedy. There just is.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, you do what you want with that. But, and you know, the guy was basically handing me a fortune, that little piece of advice.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely true. I don't know. I'm sure you've done a few corporate gigs.
Oh, yeah. And, yep. I remember, like,
you got to be clean. You got to be totally clean.
Yeah. And if you,
comedy money is. And like, if you're not a movie star or something.
Dude, yeah, exactly. Like, that's why now when I write stuff, I try to only write clean, or I'll write it the way I write it. But then I think if there's a way.
I compromise with myself. For every dick joke I write a puppy joke.
That's good.
That's not true at all, but it should be.
I don't even waste my time. For me, writing dirty material, I'm like, it's not going to help me. I know that there's nothing in it like for my end game. And I did a corporate gig a few years ago, and it paid a lot of money. And the lady was so nervous, though, like the HR lady, because apparently they did something in the company where a guy... they did like a sketch that was shown like in the company, and in this sketch a guy put on like a dress and a wig, and he was pretending to be his sister, and it was like, you know, it was just comedy. It's like, hey, my name's, you know, Larry, and this is my sister Lorena, and then it's the same person wearing a dress and a wig.
Right.
Somebody within the company complained because they were going through a transition or something. I don't know what the hell it was,
sure.
but it caused a big stink and a ruckus, and so this lady was so nervous that. She, you know, and plus a couple people had recognized me from the, you know, because I was there and they recognized my comedy because they'd seen me perform, and they go, oh, he's not going to do his regular act, is he? And so that made her so nervous. And I'm like, and she already knew what I was going to do. And so she was like, she was quivering. Her throat was shaking. Like she had like jowls,
he's
and they
not
were like,
do his regular act.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
what a. She's great, like, thing to kick off the show with.
I know. So she's like, please, please don't talk about anybody's ethnicity or their weight or the way they look. We can get through this. We can get through this. She kept saying, we can get through this. It's only 30 minutes. It's only 30 minutes. We can get through this, please. And
she's having like a crisis.
I know. And I was like very confident, and I was... And I, especially because it was 30 minutes, and at that point, I'd already like knew I could do it. And that's the thing, that's, it wasn't like, now if this would have been 15 years ago, I would have been nervous too, because I would have been like editing on the fly and,
you know,
but after a while, it's like,
but now you're like ready for cleaning.
Yeah. I threw one of the jokes past her. I go, hey, now I do talk about myself growing up in Fresno in a Latino neighborhood, and I'm going to do the characters of like, I had the red hair and I'm walking to school, and they're like, what's up, Rooster? Hey, Rooster, do my homework. And she said that was okay. So I was like, okay, good. Because I didn't want to like get so... I didn't want to become so paranoid that I'm like, ugh, got to change everything.
Well,
you know?
As someone who's half Latino, it's not okay.
Exactly. Damn it. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? Let me call my friend Mike Black. And then you just throw me under the bus. You're like, it's very offensive, my friend.
It's very offensive. And
yeah. I'm crying in the dark
right now.
I want
you to lose my number.
I know. I'm eating Ritz crackers. The white part of me is eating Ritz crackers.
On a tortilla, though. So.
On a tortilla. Exactly.
I'm keeping it multicultural. But, no, you know, I won't, again, I don't want to say names because I think it's actually a legal thing, but I worked with a comic who was very well known for some of a dirty part of his act. And he did a corporate gig for a group of lawyers, and they a lot of them were fans of his already, and they were like, we want to hear the dirty thing, do the dirty thing. He's like, I can't do that, this is a corporate event and it's a family show, and they're like, please do the thing, please do it. And he goes, tell you what, I have fulfilled my contract, I've done my hour.
Oh, that's smart.
I am done. As a free bonus for you guys, I will do this next bit, but keep in mind it is very dirty. I use very adult language. So those of you who came to see the clean show, thank you. Please exit the room, and I'll do the remaining bit for the people that want to stay and watch. So he does that. They film it. His manager calls them going, you know, we've been waiting on the check from you guys. And they're like, oh, we're not paying you.
Uh-oh.
Why not? Your comic did very offensive material. We're thinking of suing him. You know, blah, blah, blah. And they, like, really went on this thing about how he had done this offensive material. And they, luckily, his manager and his lawyer both knew him pretty well and that he's a professional. And they were like, is that what happened? He was like, no, I filmed what happened. He's like, they're not the only ones that filmed. I filmed myself too. And so they went back to them and they were like, just so you know, the way this sort of thing works, if you do something like this to a comedian, you're done with corporate gigs. And the lawyers were like, what do you mean we're done with corporate gigs? You will no longer have entertainment furnished to you at corporate gigs once word gets out that you've done something like this. We just, no entertainer is going to want to work for your firm ever again.
Mm.
And so they dropped it and the guy got paid.
Oh, that's
but
good.
It was like, what a sneaky, shitty thing to do. You know?
Thank God he recorded it. So he had his version.
Yeah. And it's like on stuff like that, it was really good foresight on his part to do that, you know, but he recorded him addressing them and going, you know, I'm done with my gig, blah, blah, blah. He did that whole spiel and had all of that on the,
thank God he did that
tape, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. 'Cause like the newer stuff that I've even just written in the last like 2 weeks, I'm like, it's really, I like it because it's, I don't know, like I got tired of that feeling of, remember when you said the older guy was in the audience and you do the thing,
right?
The wincing and the knocking. I don't like that. Like, I don't like that feel. I didn't like that. And I used to get that, especially when I was younger, you know, because I wasn't as refined and I did the beatboxing wrong and it was, they hated it. And that older generation did not like beatboxing. And so I'd be like, you know, I used to be like, you know, and they were just like, they'd cover their ears. And I remember one time I was walking in the parking lot and
they're torturing them.
Exactly. You know, it's so funny because I did an old age home up in Santa Clarita, maybe a month ago. It was great. It was like on a Sunday. And I mean, when I say old, they were, it's like a retirement center. So there were probably people like, you know, 60 to 80 or something. I don't know. And I, you know, I kind of thought as I was driving up there, I put myself back in the shoes of being a 20-year-old, how difficult that would have been, or even a 30-year-old or four, whatever. But now those older people are like more relatable than they were. Like, you know what I mean? If as we're getting older, like they're not as like, you know,
yeah, in a way, I think
like they probably used to go to discos back in the 70s, you know.
Yeah,
like they're not like, you know, like when I was a kid, we used to go to church and sometimes we'd pick up this lady, Mrs. Buchanan. And I remember Mrs. Buchanan, I used to trip out because this is in the 70s, and I remember thinking like, wow, she was born in the 1800s. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow.
She was literally born in the 1800s. And I'm like, because she had a way of, a different accent, way of talking, the way of, and it was just so old. You know, now you look at, you know, that's not, you know what I mean? I don't know anyone born in the 1800s now.
It's when, like, I was a kid, I think I did. I think I had a teacher that was born in the 1800s, because I remember in third grade, me and these other kids were passing around fruit roll-ups. And she thought they were drugs, first of all, which is an awesome thing that for a third grader, you know, we were like, had to explain to her what fruit roll-ups were. And after we explained to her what they are, she said, "Oh, you mean fruit leather." And we're like, "What?" And she goes, "Fruit leather. It's pressed sun-dried fruit that you get at the nickel store."
Dang.
For a nickel. And we were like, "What the hell are you talking about?" We all asked our parents about it, and they'd never heard of fruit leather, you know?
Wow.
Like, and I should have known she was super old, because all the candy she gave kids sucked. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, what was the one? I did something right in class, and she goes, "Mr. Black, you get a reward." And she put a candy called a root beer barrel.
Oh, I love those.
No, you don't. Come on.
I do love root beer barrels. I really
Nobody
do.
Nobody likes them. They taste like medicine.
Dude, you got to get a good one, though. Yeah, yeah. I can see that, though. Because
Maybe the one I got had gone bad or something. But it was awful. I was like, "This tastes like root beer. This is gross."
Dude, I love root beer. You know what? That's going to be my next poll I put out there. Who likes root beer barrels?
She's like, "You get a turn on the salt lick." You know, like the terrible things that kids in her day thought were great, you know.
That's hilarious, root beer barrel. Because I really, you're right, though, because I have purchased a
root beer. Homespun saltwater taffy.
Oh, my God. Homespun. No. Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I have been excited to purchase a root beer barrel, and then I'm like, "Oh, this doesn't bring back the memory that I thought it was going to be." Like, you know, like.
Yeah, because it sucks.
I got something for you. I got this. Oh, wait a second. I just looked up old people candy. And there's I know. There's something called old-fashioned Christmas candy, which you've seen that before. It's very colorful.
Yeah, my parents used to get it.
There's something from Hungarian classic Negro hard candy, throat sweeper.
Okay.
That's a real... I don't think
that sounds real racist.
I know it does. I think, yeah, it really does. Because even though I think that means black in another language, but yeah, it is kind of... It's a real thing on the internet, though. If you guys go Google
it. Where is it from?
Hungarian classic. Yeah, Hungarian classic. I don't know.
It's from Hungary.
I know. Okay. I'm all nervous. Meanwhile, the black listeners are like, "Just read the damn thing, Darren. Quit being stupid." It's like, come on.
It sounds real bad.
I know, exactly. Oh, remember this? Bazooka original bubble gum? I used to get haircuts and then give you bubble gum like this. Bazooka.
What about haircuts?
Didn't you get haircuts? So whenever I get a haircut, we get the guy would give you like gum with jokes on it.
That seems really counterintuitive for someone who works with hair to be passing out bubble gum to people.
Yeah. Dude, but I got my haircut when I first moved to LA. Everyone was like, "You got to go down to this one place." And it was kind of weird because it looked like a little cottage type house. And it was just one guy that worked there, and he was pretty flaming, if you could still say that. And
no, you can't. And you said like a number of things you're just never supposed to say right. anymore.
And I remember going there, and there'd be like, you know, like there'd be a, you know, bunch of people in there, and it was just kind of like, okay, I'm gonna get the stylish, cool, like West Hollywood haircut or whatever. And I remember I went there the first time, and it was kind of like cool, like all right. And then I went back a second time, and it was just me and the barber, the only people in there. And I just didn't like the vibe of it. It felt kind of like I didn't like it. It's just one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And at the end, this is what I really didn't like. He hands me a lollipop and he goes, "Here's something for you to suck on." And I was just like, and that talk about locking eyes. He kind of like locked eyes with me right there. And I was like, "Oh, thanks, man. Thanks." And I was just like, "Ugh." Like, you know, like, I think I'm just going to go back to Fantastic Sam's and, you know, like,
yeah.
Super cuts.
You would think Fantastic Sam would be even gayer.
Exactly.
With that name.
Fantastic. Fantastic Sam's. Oh, wait, real quick. Butterscotch candy. Were you ever into that?
I don't know that I was into it. I would eat it.
I like butterscotch.
It wasn't like a fetish or anything.
A fetish.
You just got done talking about sucking off your barber with a lollipop.
Were you into it, bro? How about Werther's original hard candy? Remember those Werther's?
Yeah, those are after I have a nice portion of Ritz and some lobster, I'll have a Werther's original.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's a candy called fried chicken candy. Archie McPhee fried chicken candy. By the way, it only has 2 stars. Apparently, people aren't into it. No, oh, that's hilarious. It wrote, what the cluck? Add some savory to your candy jar. These brown and yellow striped hard candies taste like fried chicken. You can decide if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah, I don't think so. Charm, sour balls. I'm not into that
stuff.
Wait,
are those like chicka sticks?
No, it literally looks like a drumstick. Fried chicken candy. Archie McPhee fried chicken candy. And it comes in a tin. Wow.
I don't know about that. I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't think I would like it. It doesn't sound good at all. So your teacher was from the 1800s. I got something to show you. Check this out. I went to the LA County Fair one year, and they had this old schoolhouse. It was a replica of an old schoolhouse from the early 1900s. And in that schoolhouse, I actually posted a photo with my son and I. We're sitting at the desks. And in the back of the classroom, there was a dunce cap. And it's funny because it appeared right. It was like right near me. So it kind of looked like it was my dunce cap. But apparently the dunce cap was intended to, they thought if they put this cone over the person's head, somehow the information would funnel down into their skull. You know, it wasn't meant to be embarrassing at first, I guess, but.
Yeah. And that kid's the idiot.
Exactly.
It was always meant to shame people.
Yeah, dunce cap.
That's really all it was. It was like, kids would have to sit in the corner or like clean erasers or whatever, wearing the dunce cap. And the idea was it would be such a humiliating experience that they would never want it to happen again.
Oh yeah. See, it says dunce is a mild insult in English, meaning a person who is slow at learning or stupid, you know?
Right.
The word is derived from the name of the Scottish scholastic theologian philosopher John Duns, Scottish.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if he's the dunce, why do you guys need such a clear label to point him out?
I know. There's like a photo back there. It's kind of sad. Like this kid, he has to wear one. A young boy wearing a dunce cap from class.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fool's cap is also known as a fool's cap. But anyways, it's... I'll tell you these rules from 1915. These are the school rules for the teachers. Mm-hmm. It says, number one, there's 12 rules. It says, you will not marry during the term of your contract.
Right.
You are not to keep company with men. Number three, you must be home between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. unless attending a school function. Mm-hmm. You may not loiter downtown in ice cream stores.
Yeah.
You may not... I guess that was the thing back then, to hang out in the ice cream stores.
Oh, they don't want to see them sucking on ice cream cones and stuff in front of the old men.
Exactly. Or the students are like, whoa.
Right.
You may not travel beyond the city limits without the permission of the chairman of the board.
Right.
You may not ride in a carriage or automobile with any man unless he is your father or brother.
Yeah.
You may not smoke cigarettes. You may correct. Not dress in bright colors.
Yes.
You may under no circumstance dye your hair. Ooh. See, now that's, I get it. Like, if they don't
what's
want,
funny
like,
is yeah. I follow all of these rules. I'm not teaching anyone, but I follow every single one of these rules.
Have you ever dyed your hair?
A long time ago when I had hair, I bleached it and dyed it bright red.
No way. See, I would never do that. See,
spiky.
It was like, yeah.
Well, mine was a neon red. It wasn't your gross red. It was like a good punk rock red.
It was
red.
Like the punk rock red, not just the natural ginger.
Yeah.
You must wear at least 2 petticoats.
Yeah, I do that.
Your dresses must not be any shorter than 2 inches above the ankle.
They're not.
to keep the school room clean, you must sweep the floor at least once daily, scrub the floor with hot soapy water at least once a week, clean the blackboard at least once a day. Ooh, and it says start the fire at 7 a.m. so the room will be warm by 8 a.m.
Yeah. So the kids don't die of diphtheria or whatever.
Yeah. So there's a trend. There's a trend going on. I don't know if you looked into it. It's on TikTok, and they've actually taken it off TikTok. It's called Devious Licks.
Uh-huh.
Devious Licks. I don't know if you got a chance to look at that, but apparently what they're doing, these kids, it's a TikTok trend. They destroy bathrooms, like at school. Like they'll take the, they take the toilet, you know, off the thing. They'll take the soap. They'll hide the soap. And from what I can gather, the thing is they want to try to outdo each other, and then they put it on TikTok, and they have like some song that trends along with it, some hip hop song, and
anyone who's lived in the city, it's not just the kids doing it. Go into a men's public restroom any day of the week, and it's like someone made it their life's goal to mess up that restroom, you know. There'll be toilet paper all over the place. They pee all over the seat. It's just gross. So it's like, I don't know why kids would be expected to be respectful in a restroom when nobody else is in public.
Yeah, it's weird. Like I was watching something on YouTube, maybe because it's the old man in me coming out, but I was like, I did not like what I saw. Like they were,
I don't like it either, but you don't just see it at schools.
Oh, no, on this trend, everywhere. This trend that I saw, they were doing stuff like they were trying to outdo each other. Like, you know, like they'd open up their backpack and it'd be like, look at all the soaps I stole. And then there was one guy opened up unzips his backpack, and he apparently had stolen a bunch of cell phones off people's random like cafeteria tables or whatever. And then another one, you think he's going to open up the backpack, and then the camera pans up and he had stolen a traffic light. And that's the reaction they want. They want the, oh. Then they show this, there was a group of kids like sitting in a circle, and there was a little, and then this guy walks by and just snatches the dog and runs into a car. And then they film him like petting the dog, Jesus. Like, yeah, I got you. And I'm like, that sucks, man. Like your dog is stolen. Like, I mean, it's, you know.
I'm so glad you don't work at Hallmark.
I know, dude. I know, right?
That sucks, right? Your dog was stolen.
Merry Christmas. I know. I'm hoping that one was staged. I'm hoping
this is our Darren Carter section.
Exactly.
Because my really obvious horrible thing.
But I guess it's been happening everywhere. Like, you know, Alaska, Vermont, you know, everywhere. Like Albuquerque. Like my son.
Epidemic. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been locking up the bathrooms at school and putting in porta potties because he's, you know. And even in the comment section, people are like, I'm so glad I graduated in 2019. And, you know, every generation is looking back going, you know.
They're looking back with rose-tinted lenses because the bathroom at my high school sucked most of the time. And it wasn't like people weren't like stealing soap because they weren't stupid.
Right, right.
But there was hardly ever soap in there to begin with.
I remember I remember this one guy was sort of a, this is how
you remember the toilet paper bombs that people would throw on the ceiling. They wet a bunch of toilet paper and throw it on the ceiling.
Totally.
Yeah. And kids, when we were kids, people were still throwing like M80s in toilets and stuff.
Totally. I remember all that. They absolutely were. Yeah.
So it's not like, that's one thing is that I really don't care for is old people pretending they're shocked by things that they themselves did, you know, back in the day, or new people that did, or, you know.
I feel like it's so funny because I remember having a conversation about this a week ago, and my friend was like, have you noticed there's like less graffiti in bathrooms? And I'm like, absolutely. In fact, I went to the restroom. I was at Griffith Park, and the restroom was spotless. I'm telling you. But actually, every bathroom I've been to, excuse me, over there, it's pretty good. Like, you would think a public park in Los Angeles. And I don't see any graffiti. I barely saw any, you know, there might be some scratches in the toilet, a few of these bathrooms. But it's not like I remember in the 70s and 80s. And I think maybe now I'm thinking it's because there's other outlets, Twitter or whatever. There's like Instagram or TikTok or what. There's places to people can express themselves. Because I remember,
it's like That used to be where your message was going to get heard, was right. The bathroom.
I remember we'd go on these long road trips. We'd go from Fresno to Kansas, right, every summer, and we'd go to Arkansas. And part of the thrill...
That seems like a very lateral trip.
It was. It was like a lateral road trip, yeah. It was like, yeah, it wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't like, we're going to go on vacation to Paris or Miami. No, we're going to go from one shithole to another.
Let's get away from it all and go to Kansas. No one has ever said
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know, you only go there because you have relatives. You're not like, I want to go see the Great Plains of Kansas. Because right. We weren't even going to Kansas City. We were going 40 miles south of Kansas City. And
the last time anyone wanted to go to Kansas was because they were being persecuted by a witch that had flying monkeys.
I know. Shout out to Nicholas Boydston, our listener from Kansas City. Big Fluff Nico Lantern. He loves when you're on, so I know he's listening to this one. Big Fluff Nico Lantern.
Hi, Big Fluff.
Yeah. So he, but I remember part of the...
Sorry about Kansas.
He lives in Missouri, I think. He lives in the Missouri side.
Oh, okay.
The cool side. So we, I remember, like, part of the big thing when I was like 11, 12, 13, whatever, I used to love to like go to the, when we go stop and go to the bathroom at the truck stops, I used to love reading the graffiti because it was funny back then. Like, I'm sure my parents thought I was a weirdo, but I used to think like, it's so funny to like read these dirty poems and like jokes, right. Jokes on the wall. Like, I remember one of them was like, yeah, go ahead.
You go ahead. You go first.
I remember this one, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, without a pussy, a dick will rust. And it's ingrained in my memory from like
you didn't USA save alter that one at all.
I know. Well, that's what I read. I'm just quoting the news from a truck stop somewhere near, okay. You know, somewhere near Wichita.
I remember a condom machine in a truck stop, and someone had written next to it, "The gum in this machine tastes like rubber."
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I saw one. It was on the urinal, and it said, "Hey, buddy, the joke is in your hand." And I was like, oh, yeah, I thought that's hilarious, you know. Or
a sick burn.
Yeah. Ooh, burn. I know. Or
how does he know?
Yeah, what was another one? What's 2 inches long and 3 inches wide? I forget the punchline. My dick or something. I don't know. It was something. Or something. I don't know. Something weird like that where you think it's going to be.
I love that you forgot the punchline, so the one you wrote on the fly is my dick.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what you think. I think you think it's going to be a dick, but then it turns out it's something else. But I don't know. The good old. In fact, I remember back then I was like, there's something to this. There's funny graffiti everywhere. And I thought I should take photos of it and have a book. And then you realize you know, the lighting isn't that good. I'm sure now that you're in, I'm in show business deeper, I realize a lot of that stuff is probably staged anyways. Like, just to rely on the public with their dumb graffiti. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like a smarter man would be like, Darren, no, here's what you do. You just do your own graffiti with different handwriting and have, you know, you and some top-notch Hollywood writers that went to Harvard. You guys.
The idea of you getting interviewed again. I couldn't just rely on the public with their dumb graffiti.
Yeah, driving crisscross, looking for bathroom graffiti, wasting all those miles. Like, you know? No, you probably just set up like fake Hollywood, you know, like on a set, like bathroom stalls, and then like have different writers write these great quips and quotes, and then act like, oh, I found this one in, you know, Fort Worth, Texas, and I found this graffiti in Miami. Meanwhile, it's all bullshit. It's all some soundstage in, you know, Burbank.
Well, there are those books that are similar, that are like Awkward Family Portrait,
mm-hmm.
where I think some of them are staged, but a lot of them couldn't be, just because of like the clothing that they were able to have on is like, you had to have been alive in the 70s to have that shirt.
That's true.
Know, there's no way they put that together, you know. And there are certain looks that people, the time period has to tell you look cool because you would never wear it otherwise, you know.
Did you ever, my son asked me this, have you ever worn a half shirt?
No.
I don't think I did either.
I do not have the body for it.
But even back in the, like, you know, when you were like 12, I mean, I don't know, was it even a thing? I think it was half shirts were popular back then, but I don't think I wore one.
I had a friend that wore one, my friend Ron, he wore a... This was his whole outfit. He wore like Adidas knee-high socks, like the basketball socks.
Yeah.
Jean shorts that he had made himself. Like he cut them himself.
Oh yeah, cutoffs.
A half shirt, and he had a rat tail. He had a buzz cut and a rat tail. And that was a standard outfit for him. The only other outfit I vividly remember was he had a t-shirt that just said Escape from New York on it from the movie. And he was best friends with a kid named James Zeiss, who only wore blue sweatpants and a Super Bowl shirt. I don't remember which one, but it was a Broncos Super Bowl that they lost. But he was so fat that it was the only thing that fit him.
Wearing a losing, oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah. In Denver, he was wearing a losing Super Bowl Denver.
Oh my
shirt.
God, that's so funny you say that. I just remembered this when I was in 7th or 8th grade. There's a photo of it somewhere. It was on my school ID. I had a shirt. It was what's it called? Like it's the shirt where it's like 1/4-inch sleeve where it goes right. It ends right above your wrist. Are those like baseball?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what like a sports jersey.
Yeah, like a sports jersey, but it's like a t-shirt, but with like long sleeves, but it cuts.
Baseball shirt.
Yeah, it doesn't
baseball,
go. Yeah, it
sportsman's shirt.
I had that kind of shirt, and then it would say Fresno, but it would start in the middle of your neckline and then go underneath like your, across your pectoralis major, and then the O part would land under your armpit. And I remember this guy was, oh, Fresno in your armpit. And I was like, oh, I never really noticed that's where the word was, but yeah.
Thanks, Dick.
I know, exactly.
You ruined my shirt.
I remember a big thing in elementary school, all the kids would sign people's t-shirt. Like you'd wear your shirt, and then you'd autograph the back of the shirt. Like, you know, have a great summer, you know, that kind of thing. That was a big deal. And this one kid, Tommy, he had a shirt, in the back of his shirt, it said Bass Lake, which is a real lake up near Fresno. And I thought it was funny to cross off the B and the L. And I was like, ass ache.
Stupid.
I know. That was my devious licks of TikTok back in the day.
I remember. You remember when you could go to the mall and someone would airbrush whatever you wanted on a shirt?
Yeah.
But it usually looked crappy. There was a kid at our school. He was like a young white kid who had just moved to Aurora, and he wanted to like show that he was into the rap scene. And so he went to the mall and got an airbrushed shirt. And I'm not making this up. This is so fucking, I remember laughing for like a solid 5-minute block when I saw this, but the front of the shirt was normal. He turned around, and on his back, there was a picture of what looked like a Coca-Cola with like a straw coming out of it and the sunset behind it. And above it, in like real fancy bubble, like cola type lettering, it said iced tea. Like, I know exactly what happened. He was like, I want a shirt that says iced tea on it. And the old lady who does the airbrush, she was like, oh, how fun. I'll make it. This boy really loves iced tea.
Iced tea.
And so that's exactly what she wrote, iced tea.
Oh, my God.
And he has the only shirt, I think, maybe in the entire world, just promoting the general idea of iced tea because he was trying to fit in.
That's hysterical. I got to ask you, before we go, Norm Macdonald, man. Norm Macdonald passed away. I've been watching all these Norm Macdonald clips.
Sure.
I checked, you know, it's funny. I got his audio book.
You know, we were talking about being rich and decadent and stuff like that. Someone posted an old clip of him on Weekend Update where he says, the daughter of the richest man in the world celebrated her birthday yesterday. To give you an idea of how rich they are, she had 2 birthday cakes.
See, that's so simple and fun and clean.
Yeah, simple, clean, and funny as, because you're expecting this whole thing
Yeah.
Just, no, they had two birthday cakes.
Yeah, they rented out this entire island. Or no, just,
right.
That's
right.
Hilarious. Funny. My wife just had a birthday, and my son is coming up, so it's birthday month here in the Carter household. September. So I have all the birthday decorations up. I went out, and I love. There's something cool about, like, just birthday decorations are colorful and they're pretty, and then you get to have birthday cake and you don't feel guilty about it because it's like, hey, it's birthday, you have to have it, you know?
Yeah, you have to.
I know. We went with vanilla.
City ordinance.
I know, it's a city ordinance. Okay, I want also, do you have any, have you met Norm? Did you get to meet him at all?
I did. I was very lucky. I was, back when I was, like, had a little bit of industry heat under me, I was doing a show at the Improv called The Intergalactic Defenders of Comedy. And it was really ahead of its time. It was all like comic book, superhero, sci-fi based stand-up. And it was just comics that liked to talk about that sort of stuff. But this was well before like Iron Man and the big Marvel push and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, our first guest was Stan Lee. And so it was a fun
Stan
show.
Stan Lee?
Yeah.
Wow. No way, your first guest was Stan Lee? That's amazing.
Yeah, because he wasn't a household name yet. Nobody knew who he was except us, you know. And so we'd done a couple shows, and it was going good, and it was starting to generate a pretty good audience. And you know how the Improv is. If you have a theme night, or like a book show, if they get a headliner that comes in, they'll ask you, they'll be like, do you want us to see if he wants to do some time on the show? And it was like, yeah. And so that night, Swartzen came in and he brought Norm. And Swartzen,
Nick Swartzen.
I'd known him for a while, and he was like, hey buddy, can I do the show? I'm like, absolutely. You know? And so he went up and crushed for 10 minutes, and then Norm was watching in the back laughing, and so I get this like kind of elbow, and I look, and it's Norm McDonald. He goes, hey, what's the deal? It's all comic books and sci-fi stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's the theme of the night, but you don't have to do that. He goes, oh no, that's great, can I do like 5 minutes? Sure. So they, you know, I bring him up as quick as I can. And it was like, for the audience, this was amazing. They just had Swartzen and then they got him. So he goes up and does 5 minutes about the Fantastic Four and just crushed, just annihilated the room. And I'm like, while he's up there, I'm thinking, okay, get ready to go tell the other comics that you booked that they're probably not going to make it on because he's killing, you know. But he just did the Fantastic Four bit. He said, oh, that's all I got on superheroes. Good night, everybody. And he took off.
Do you remember anything that he said about Fantastic Four?
It's on an album now.
Really?
He did it. I think he was just kind of like riffing. And then eventually like realized, he was like, oh, I think I got a bit here. And turned it into a bit. But one of his albums, I forget which one, I want to say Ridiculous, has a Fantastic Four bit on it, and it's got to be that.
I'll look it
up
on something.
The gist of the whole thing was that, you know,
that's so cool.
The Thing is a big rock creature, so we'll call you the Thing. Invisible Woman, you turn invisible. We'll call you the Invisible Woman. Johnny, you catch fire instantly and you're a human being, so we'll call you the Human Torch. And me, I stretch like a rubber band, so we'll call me Mr. Fantastic. Okay, on to our next order of business. Wait, what? Why are you Mr. Fantastic? That's in my power is very fantastic. I stretch like a rubber band. Moving on.
Yeah. I know Halloween's coming up. It'll be next month. I have some Halloween trivia for you before we go. Yeah.
I'm ready for it.
Are you ready, buddy? Okay, now this might be difficult because I'll tell you what. We'll both try to answer. I don't know all the answers.
Even though you have the answer.
Exactly. Well, I know the answer on this one because I peeked, but In which country did Halloween originate?
I am going to guess Romania.
Ireland. According to this website I'm on, Ireland. And we've done this before where I asked you a question and then the website was wrong. So
yeah, so check at home, everyone listening.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Yes. Oh, wait a second. Oh, forget that never mind. I thought I had to click something to show the answer, but apparently... Oh, no, okay. This I have not looked up yet.
Oh, okay.
Every Halloween, Charlie Brown helps his friend Linus wait for what character to appear? I think I know, but I'll let you answer first.
I will answer, and this is my final answer, the Great Pumpkin.
I agree. Let's see the answer. The Great Pumpkin. Yes, perfect. Okay.
Damn right.
According to superstition, if you stare into a mirror at midnight on Halloween, what will you see?
Well, there's two different lores, but one of them would be Bloody Mary. And the other one is, Candyman is a different thing. But, what was the other one? The devil, I think.
Ooh, I bet you that's right. I'm going to say Bloody Mary. Let's look at the answer. Your future husband or wife is the answer.
On Halloween?
According to superstition, I know, it's so weird.
That's bullshit.
Did I ever tell you that story? I don't know if I told you that one. I was in third grade, and I was in my, I was looking in the mirror, because the whole Bloody Mary thing was big back then, and so I remember going, you have to say it three times, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, and then I opened my eyes, I was scared to open my eyes, but I opened my eyes, I saw nothing, and I'm like, oh, it didn't work, but I sensed that there was something out of the corner of my eye. And I looked, and my mother was standing outside of my bedroom window, and she had red hair, and it was in curlers. And she was wondering what the hell I was doing. And she's like, just looking at me like, what are you? And I was like, ah! I screamed so loud, it freaked me the F out, dude. Like, you know what I mean?
Imagine what it did to her. It probably freaked her out.
I know. I screamed. It was not, man, it was so scary. I'm like, Bloody Mary, bloody. Okay. Up in my eyes. Okay, good. There's nothing there. And then I looked to the left. Bam. She was right there. It was like, oh my God. Like,
Wait a minute. Darren.
Yes.
Is your mother's name Mary?
No, but my aunt is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. All right. Which region, I'm sorry, from which region of the world do pumpkins originate?
This isn't Halloween trivia. This is Farmer's Almanac trivia.
I'm going to guess. I have a guess.
I do too. I'm going to guess the Ukraine.
I'm going to guess Africa. And the reason I say that is because I found out that guitars, gourds, or banjos, I believe, were originating. And I never thought of banjo being from Africa, but apparently banjos came from Africa. So, which region in the world do pumpkins originate? I'm going to show your answer.
My final answer is South America.
Dude, you're right. It's Central America.
Okay.
That'd be funny. We're both, you're just Googling over there.
I'm like, no, I wasn't. I was just thinking of all the different, like, Thanksgiving shit.
Yeah.
I was like, all of that probably came from, you know, our country somewhere.
Who wrote the novel Frankenstein?
Mary Shelley.
Mary Shelley, you're right. I didn't even know. I didn't even have a guess on that one. Halloween has its origins in which ancient Celtic festival?
I may be pronouncing it wrong, but I believe it's called Samhain.
You got it, dude. You got it. Yes, Sam Hain. Yes.
Yeah.
You're really good. Which actor played Dr. Frankenfurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
The irreplaceable Tim Curry.
You got it.
Was up for the part of Hannibal Lecter and didn't get it. And he was also up for the Joker in the 1989 Batman movie for a brief period. And he did the voice of the Joker on the Batman animated series, and it was so unsettling they were like, oh, this is a kid's show. This is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
So Mark Hamill, who was there doing just some other voice, like a businessman, was like, well, can I read for it? And they had him do it, and it's now considered one of the best portrayals of the Joker ever.
Oh, wow. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, Mark Hamill on any episode of Batman the Animated Series that he was on. Wow.
Do you like it?
Hear it?
Do you like it?
Oh, it's the voice I hear when I read the comics now.
Wow. Did you like Jack Nicholson's Joker?
I really did.
I did too.
I'll tell you the truth. The character is so malleable and can kind of adapt with the times that I've liked pretty much every Joker incarnation, with the exception of Jared Leto, and only because his wasn't written very well. Mm. They didn't really take a lot of time to... I think he could play the character well. They just didn't give him a lot to work with.
I love the movie. I saw the Joker with Gary Cannon, with Joaquin Phoenix. We were on the road, and we went to the movie theater. It was a great movie. It was really good. It was really
good.
That
came out on my birthday. I was so excited about it.
Wow. That's what I like. I like going to a movie and seeing a good movie, like a movie theater. Like, I hate when I'm like, let's go to the movies, and you get excited, and then you're just like, that wasn't that good, you know? But that was a good one.
The Heath Ledger one is still, like, probably my favorite movie version of the character. But what they did with Joaquin Phoenix was so good. And there's a shot in there where he's waiting to go on stage for that Tonight Show type show.
Yeah.
And they cast him in this blue light, and he's just smoking in the dark. And I was like, God, that is one of the most beautiful character shots I've ever seen. The way that movie is filmed is gorgeous. That shot in particular, I was like, this is telling so much story with very, very little there, you know. It was great. Great movie.
Two questions and we'll let you get on with your day. Is a pumpkin a fruit or a vegetable?
Oh, no.
another farmer question.
It is a weed. No, it's a... I believe it would count as a fruit.
I'm going to say vegetable. Because I'm thinking it comes from the ground. There's like dirt over it. It's a root.
Oh, you're probably right.
Show the answer. It's a fruit.
Ha-ha.
Dang it.
Yes. I don't know why, but my qualifier was that it had seeds in it.
Yeah.
But so do all vegetables.
Yeah, I know. Watermelon. I know. It's like, according to superstition, a person born on Halloween has what particular ability?
Oh, lycanthropy.
What?
They are werewolves.
I have no idea. It's going to say, it says the ability to talk and see spirits.
Talk to spirits, I assume. Not.
Oh.
They don't talk spirits.
Talk to spirits. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I should ask you one more question. That's easy. Okay. When do vampires sleep?
That's the dumbest.
That's
one.
That's dumb. It's so easy.
During the day.
Actually, it says all night. When do vampires sleep? It says at night. They're nocturnal. That doesn't make sense.
What idiot wrote that? That sentence doesn't make sense.
I know. What it says. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. When do vampires sleep? At night. Nocturnal. Doesn't make sense.
No, that's bullshit. That's like that Golden Child question. Same idiot wrote it.
I know. Remember that question?
Ask another one.
What is
Ask
the...
another one.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, here's one you might not know. Oh, I think this would be a difficult one for you. What is the first name of Dr. Frankenstein?
In most of the stories that I know, it's Victor.
Damn it, you're right. How do you know this stuff? Yes. It says,
I just remember it.
It says Victor. In the original book, the monster is referred to as Adam, although he's often called the monster in other stories. But the answer is Victor.
Oh, yeah. The monster is called Adam, named after the first man. Yeah. But the scientist who you were referring to is Victor.
Wow. You actually sound like a Halloween character now with your voice. It's kind of raspy.
Yeah. Okay, I have one for you that I know you'll never get.
Okay.
And I'd give you lifelines. You can call your wife or your son or whatever.
Okay, I won't Google it. I'm going to close my computer. Here's the sound of it closing. I promise you I'm not going to Google it. Okay.
In the Universal film The Mummy, what is the mummy's actual name?
Walter.
That's very close. He was portrayed by Walter Matthau in the movie.
Really?
Okay. That would be a great movie, though. Walter Matthau as the mummy.
Steve Martin as the mummy. No.
These bandages are giving me a rash.
What was his name?
Imhotep.
See, I wouldn't know. I remember
Egyptian sorcerer.
I got my I went to a third grade dance or fourth grade dance, and I dressed up as the mummy. And what my mom did was she took a bed sheet and she cut strips of it, and we wrapped it all around my legs and my body. But she left two openings: one for around my glasses, my little Buddy Holly glasses frame, so I could see. And then she also made sure that the zipper area wasn't covered in case I had to pee.
That was very smart. That was proactive thinking.
But it looked kind of weird, though. All you see is glasses and a crotch area, like uncovered. I must have like the world's biggest peeping Tom
pervert
creep,
mummy.
You know? Yeah. My glasses are all fogged up. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what they did to actual mummies in case they had to pee?
What?
Removed all of their organs through their nose and put them in jars next to them.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So, yeah. Actual mummies had it rough.
I'm going to watch a fun Halloween movie on Netflix, and then we'll do a podcast about it. I'll see what's on Netflix. I looked at, because I kind of...
I will give you one. It may not be on Netflix, but if it is, I would recommend this movie to anyone who wants, like, a good semi-clean Halloween fun movie. If you haven't seen it, and it's kind of a cult classic, The Monster Squad.
Monster Squad. Okay, I'll look.
Have you ever watched it?
I never have.
I'll tell you just a little bit about it.
Okay.
That will not ruin it.
Okay.
Basically, the big kind of rock stars of horror: Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, the Mummy, Creature from the Black Lagoon. They all come back to life one Halloween night, and the only people that know anything about it or can do anything about it is this group of kids that are all basically like horror movie nerds. And the movie was written by Shane Black, who did Lethal Weapon, and so the dialogue is really, really good. But it was done in the like late 80s. And so they updated all the monsters. And so the mummy looked like an actual mummy would look. And the wolfman looked terrifying. Mm. It's really worth seeing. And it's funny, too. It's got a lot of, like, humor to it. Yeah. But it's one you can watch with a family, and it's pretty safe.
Good.
Like, there may be a little bit of PG sort of stuff in there, but it'll go over the kids' heads.
See, I would love that. Yeah. I want to see like fun monster, like the old Universal movies, like those kind of things. I saw
see at least the preview online for the Monster Squad, and it'll give you an idea. It's basically like if Goonies took place during Halloween.
What's that famous Halloween movie that everyone knows? Frankenstein, putting on the Ritz, Gene Wilder.
Frankenstein.
Yes. That was one of those movies I'd always heard about, and I'd maybe seen little clips here and there. But when I watched it, I'm like, that's a great movie. I could see why people like it. It's fun. It's funny. It's a little spooky, but not really, but it's great.
If you ever get a chance, sometimes they'll air them this way. They will air the actual Frankenstein before Young Frankenstein. And it shows just what a genius Mel Brooks was, because he uses a lot of the same shots and a lot of the same set pieces and setups and stuff like that. So it really is a very direct parody of Frankenstein.
I was reading that the movie studios, they were like, why does it have to be in black and white? But he was like, it's going to work. It's going to work. Trust me, it's going to work.
Yeah, he insisted on it, and he was absolutely right. And, you know, the performances are so good. I didn't even know until recently that, you know, the kindly blind man that he runs into.
Yeah. Yeah.
That takes him in and kind of like accidentally tortures him.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
No.
Gene Hackman.
Really?
Yeah. I had no idea. I just thought, oh, that guy's a really good actor.
So good. Well, listen, I'm excited about Halloween, and I'm excited that you did the podcast today. And Mike Black, once again, another great episode. Thank you again. And
other movie recommendation before I go.
Please do.
This one's not a family one. This one's more of just a little bit edgier, but is a good, funny and scary movie. If you haven't seen it yet, Cabin in the Woods.
Let me write that down. Cabin in the Woods. Isn't that, here's what's frustrating to me. When I look up something good on Netflix and it's never on there, it's like, damn it, Cabin in the Woods. But I do, when it's on there, it's great. But when it's not, you're like, gosh, they're like, did you want like something similar? Yeah.
I feel like they tap your phone and go, oh, well, let's take that one off and put it on Amazon for
exactly
$5.
I know. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, and then they're like, do you like the movie Jaws? Well, then you would like this movie. And it's like, you know, Shark Tornado or something. Like,
yeah, it's never anything close to the thing that you want it to be.
I know. I ended up watching some Clint Eastwood last night on YouTube just because I was like, you know, I was like, I don't have time for a whole movie right now, but I want to watch like these great moments. And it was a Clint Eastwood. It wasn't Cry Macho, but it was one of the first one that really put him out there. I don't know, not even The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, but it was something like that where he has the hat and the poncho.
A Fistful of Dollars.
Something like that where it said, you know, it was on the title was like one of the best scenes that really made him a movie star. And
oh, maybe Dirty Harry or something.
No, it was a cowboy one. It was a Western. It was the spaghetti Western. And it was the... And in the comment section, someone said it made not just one star, it made three. And it said, what's the director's name? Sierra Leone? Sergio Leone?
Yeah.
It was him, the composer, and Clint Eastwood. And this scene was where I guess these bad guys had been shooting his donkey and made his donkey take off. And so then he comes back and he's like, you better apologize. And then they don't. Oh, and as he's walking to go have a gun battle, he sees the guy making the coffins, and he goes, get ready to make three of those. We're going to need them. And then he goes and he tells the guys to apologize. They start laughing, and then he removes the poncho. But you see there's no gun in his hand, but you think maybe there's a gun under the poncho, but there wasn't. And he goes, my donkey would be offended at that laughter. You better apologize for laugh and whatever. And then they pull their guns out, and then he shoots them all, pa, 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 pa. And as he's walking away, he looks back at the coffin maker and he goes, he basically goes, my bad, I should have said four coffins. You know? But that was a great scene. Gosh, I wish I, you know what, I'm not going to leave where hanging. I'm going to look at the history of my YouTube channel. You know how you could do that? You can be like, what did I watch? I'm going to tell you what it was because it's worth knowing.
Yeah, you know, on Netflix right now, and I just recommended it to my dad because he hadn't seen it in forever. They have In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood. It's Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich, and they're both really good in it.
Fistful of Dollars. It was from Fistful of Dollars.
That's what I said.
You did? Dang it. Okay, and sorry about that. You said
it could never be that. Why are you so stupid?
Yeah. You're like the mule? No, it was older than that. Yeah. Dang it, that was good. I'm sorry I said that. Fistful of Dollars. Yep, that's what it was. And then I got a little jag last night of watching Norm Macdonald clips and also old Larry King clips. I know, that's, yeah, because I looked up one that said Larry King on the radio in 1982, and it reminded me of, like, growing up.
Did he die or something?
I think he died earlier this year.
Okay.
But, yeah, anyways, okay. Well, listen, yeah. Now it's just turning into a regular phone call. So then I looked up Larry King and, yeah. All right, buddy. Dr. Ruth Westheimer with her sex advice. Did you ever hear that?
No.
Oh, so that was big in Fresno back then. I am Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And she would people call up and ask their questions like, how come my testicles hurt? You know, or whatever.
You eat too many Funyuns.
It's called Blue Balls. Oh, yeah, Funyuns, yeah. All right, my man. Have a good one. And you guys that were listening all the way through. You made it all the way through to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much. Don't forget to donate, subscribe, like, and I'm available on Cameo. So hit us up on Cameo and I'll do a personal video shout out. Cameo.com/official Darren Carter. Look at Mike Black on Instagram. He's on Mike Black on Instagram and his handle is
Mike Black is back.
Mike Black is back. Thank you again, Mike. And thank you, listeners and viewers. You guys love it. I love it. And thank you for starting that party in your ear holes. See you, Mike.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're done with this interview.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party.
For watching. Now please subscribe and ring that notification bell.